God Jesus is. Isn't it good to be in His house tonight? Somebody say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Why don't you turn around and say, God bless you, soldier. God bless you, Christian soldier. Boys, play a little bit more of that. Let's sing. What a mighty God our Jesus is. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Is heaven and earth adore Him. Aren't you glad you're serving Him tonight? Do you love Him with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer requests tonight. We've got a lot of needs that we want to let you know about. Brother Jim Maxwell says, please remember our grandson, Noah Maxwell. He had a seizure this afternoon and is at the emergency room right now. So we certainly want to pray that the Lord would be mindful of that prayer request tonight. God just help that person. Please pray for Brother Dal Orndorff. He has a sore throat and a virus. So we want to remember him in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Brother Scotty Babb. He has a flu-like symptoms with fever and chilling. So let's pray for Brother Scotty tonight that the Lord would touch him. Brother Ron Daly's mother wants to thank the church for their prayers. She had taken a fall. She is doing much better, and the swelling that has gone down a lot, and she was able to go to church this past weekend. She praises God for His healing power, so we thank the Lord for that. Ask God to just continue to touch her. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. He is being admitted to the Johnson City Medical Center. His body will not absorb any fat or nutrition, so the doctors will be running tests to see if they can find the reason. So we certainly want to pray for the Kennedy family, Brother Eugene in particular, that the Lord would just be mindful of our brother and give him a healing touch in his body tonight. Sister Angelina sends this in. I'm requesting urgent prayers for myself for the Lord to touch and heal me completely. The past few weeks, my blood pressure has been extremely high, and the doctors say that I have contracted a bacterial infection. I believe the Lord will restore my health fully back to normal. Thank you, your sister in Christ, Sister Angelina. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Baker says to please have prayer for a man at work. His name is Ernest. His wife really needs prayer also. So let's remember those needs tonight. Sister Jane Terrell is at the Johnson City Medical Center under evaluation. She passed out again this morning. She has had an EEG and is now having an MRI. The neurologist is thinking maybe some type of a seizure. Please pray for her and Brother Gene. So we certainly want to pray for those folks tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of their situation. Help Sister Jane to receive healing in her body. Brother George Hamlin has an unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. Just commit that to the Lord. Also, if you continue to pray for my wife, Glenda, she's still sick, needs healing in her body. If you'd pray for her, I'd appreciate that. Sister Lana Jones says, please pray for my daughter, Linda, in Georgia. She has some major health issues. Also for Julia with infections and Zeta with her eyes and Phoenix Rose, speech and hearing. These are very urgent needs, but I know God is a very present help in time of trouble. So we just pray that the Lord would answer that prayer request tonight and give those folks healing. I want to pray for Sister Stella Tatum from Georgia. She had open heart surgery today, is in the intensive care unit. Pray for a complete recovery. Also want to pray for Brother Melvin Lynch, who is sick, unable to be in the service tonight. So let's pray for that need. Want to pray for Sister Caitlin Bailey, who is at home sick, needs healing. Let's remember that prayer request tonight. And Brother Daniel Ball says, please remember a friend of ours named Bonnie Miller. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. Please continue to pray for Sister Kristen Ball as she recovers from her wrist surgery. So we want to remember those needs tonight. Well, a lot of sick folks, aren't they? How many of you have an unspoken prayer request or something you'd like for this group to pray about tonight that God knows all about? Do you believe that with all your heart? Yes. Could we stand tonight? Brother Harold Carroll, would you come tonight, lead us to the Lord? Let's invite His presence into the service and ask Him to just have His complete will in all these prayer requests tonight. Appreciate Brother Harold, don't we? God bless you, buddy. Love you.
Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we take this time, Lord. We first want to say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us already, Lord. God, because, just to be quite honest with you, there's no one else like you, Lord. And Father, as we come to you now, Lord, and we've expressed our gratitude to you, Lord, we want you to come, Lord, and just have your way in the service. And Lord, we bring these requests to you, Lord. We didn't bring them haphazardly. People didn't just mention them because they didn't have anything else better to do, Lord. But Lord, just as Esther was here for such a time as this, Lord, it's the bride's time. Lord, as we're to come into that spot, Lord, we're to bring these requests, Lord, and we bring them to you, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we just want to ask you, Lord, that you'll meet these needs, Lord. You see, there's some that are very dire, some that are very, people that are just so urgent, Lord. And just as humans and as mortals, God, we just pulls and tugs on our hearts, God. And Lord, I would pray, God, tonight, Lord, you see the requests that many of us have, I myself, my family, and different ones in their different families, Lord. God, we know, God, that you are a prayer-answering God, and you love us, Lord. And God, we ask you, Lord, that you'd meet these needs according to your will, Lord. We want to thank you in advance for all that you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Harold. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, pray the service will be a blessing to those folks as well. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Did you enjoy services here over the weekend? Was the word of the Lord extremely wonderful? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. I believe it's the testimony of every human being that's born again and ready to leave this old world. We've got leaving on our mind, don't we? Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Sing, everybody.
The old house that I'm living in is needing repair.
Oh, yes.
The windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself, I'm gonna fix it. When I can find the time.
Oh, yes.
But all I've been getting lately is leaving all by my mind.
Lately all I've got is so much of the time.
How soon and very soon I'll leave.
Oh, yes, we will.
My troubles far behind.
Oh, yes, lately I've got leaving. Leaving.
Looking for a better place to live.
Oh, yes.
Oh, but I can't seem to get excited about Laodicea, all it has to give. I couldn't care less if I could buy it all.
Hallelujah.
With one song. This world to me with this rapture all that's in my mind.
Oh, yes, lately I've got
leaving all
my mind.
So my mind.
Oh, it seems that song. Time and all the time. Oh, you got to say it better than that. All the time. Give me one more hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time. Oh, God is good. You know He is. He's good all the time.
He serves the whole world over. And no greater friend or
well, He's not good once in a while. He's good all the time. Oh, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time.
You can search the whole world.
Tonight, Brother Brad, Sister Sarah, glad you all are back. I know the Lord gave you a good trip. Seen a lot of great things. We'll be hearing about that. Your brother. Yeah, I was going to call him Harold. Where did I get Harold at? Your brother Harold and Sister Shirley, a nice hand tonight as they sing. Amen.
Was so many years ago, I'd hate to even say it out loud, but it's got more real as time goes on, and it's never been more real than it has just here recently. Amen. Stumbling alone in the darkness, I was looking for a light to shine. Searching for the source of revelation to fill this darkened heart of mine. Oh, the greatest mystery the world's ever known has made so clear to me. In the light of God's word shining into my heart, and now my blinded eyes. Wandering in darkness, the children of the night. They need a glorious transformation from the kingdom of darkness to light. For a long time ago on Resurrection Day, Jesus the light broke through to provide us a way from night to day, a path of life for me and for you. And now I see myself like my Father does. I'm not of the darkness like I was, for He changed me when His light came in. No longer life, I've been born again, and now I see myself like my Father does. I'm not of the darkness like I was. For He changed me when His light came in. No longer in the night, I'm a child of the light. I've been born again. No longer in the night, I'm a child of the light. I've been born again.
Let's stand tonight. It's time to go on into the service. Brother Donnie's going to come bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you going to pray for your pastor tonight? We're just going to receive whatever the Lord has for us. These services get richer and richer and better all the time. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. I don't know what chord it is, but we'll figure it out.
The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart
Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Uh-oh. Problem number one. Problem number two. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Problem number three. Which leads to problem number four. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Now, let's just start it out real good and tight. One of the reasons they hated him was Jacob's fault. Right. Parental favoritism is wrong.
Amen.
Hello. How's everybody feeling tonight? Well and happy, I hope. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, as we look into this great story that lays before us, may you help us, Father. We desire, Lord, that we could learn by the examples that have been written to us in the Scripture. Many great people have done great, wonderful things for your kingdom, for the economy of God. And yet we know some of those same great people made terrible, great mistakes as well. So we don't want to just pattern them in the good things they've done, but we want to learn by their mistakes. Speak to us tonight, Father. May we be benefited by our gathering together. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel, Jacob's beloved and favorite wife. According to the Jewish rabbis and the teachers of the historical parts brought over from Josephus and many of the writers of this time frame, Joseph looked so much like his mother that whenever Jacob would look at him, it was a constant reminder of his wife Rachel. The Scripture tells us that the reason in verse 3 that Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren because he was the son of his old age. But yet this is peculiar in the sense that he had a younger brother. So he was not the last son. As a matter of fact, Benjamin was there. But it was as if though that he had somehow given a favoritism toward Joseph. Now, of all people that should know the price of favoritism and what it can bring in a family and in a home, Jacob should have known. Since his father had preferred one and his mother had preferred the other, he had seen the years of separation and difficulty that favoritism, parental favoritism, had brought. And you would think that he would have learned by this, don't go this way, don't do this, it's not worth it. But it's amazing how that the things that we can hate, we can become if we're not careful. And we become it blindly. Because if people knew they were becoming the same type of person their father was or their mother was, oh my goodness, they would nearly smack you in the face. If you told them, you're just like your daddy, don't you tell me I'm like my daddy. But everybody else but them can see it. Now, coming from this type of a situation, you'd think then that Jacob would have known that what this brings inside a home and a family, that it can cause such trouble. And any time you have partiality in a family, in a home, in a church, in a government, in whatever, it's going to cause, you know, this type of difficulty. And Joseph was his father's pet. And you know what? As far as the way that Jacob looked at it, he made no bones about it. It wasn't that he just kind of sneaked around and treated him special and treated all the rest of the other 10 older brothers in a special way too. You know, a real parent has that ability to where they can make each one feel like they're the only child. They're the only one that's there. But it was not so with Jacob. Jacob was so partial in the way that he was loving and the way he was reflecting it to Joseph that he didn't even care if the other sons knew it. Now, what's amazing about this in the time frame of the way this is going to work is that God is going to start dealing with Joseph in a spiritual way. And Jacob is going to forerun the spiritual work of God, and Jacob is going to show this fatherly favoritism, and it's going to precede or forerun divine favoritism given by God. So when the brothers look at divine favoritism, they will only put it in the same lump as with their father's human favoritism, so it will absolutely disqualify in their eyes the spiritual favoritism that God has given to Joseph, because they're going to lump it in the same pile. So God's just like daddy. Well, praise the Lord. You're about as quiet as I thought you would be. But I'm going to go ahead and preach like I figured I would. Now, as he goes on now to whatever gestures that he had made prior to this. As I said, he was open about it. He was not shamefaced about it. It was as if though that he himself was not realizing that he's fixing to create the same dilemma that he was raised up in, except now it's going to be worse because you got 10 older brothers, and each one of them is going to show their envy and their hatred. So as he goes on, then he feels now the need to be able to express this favoritism in a very outspoken, lavish way. So then the next verse here in the scripture tells us, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Now, you know, it's always that the pet of the family will tend to be made haughty and have a little bit better view of themselves than the other siblings. Whether it's one or a dozen or 25, the pet will seem to have this view that they are better than the other kids, the other siblings. Let me read you this story. You can read with me on the screen. Is that you, pet? Said a father from his bedroom to a little one who stood at the door in the early morning knocking for admission. No, it isn't, pet. It's only me, replied a sorrowful little voice. And that was the last of pet in that family. Now, how would you have liked it if it would have been you that would have been knocking on your father's door, except you wasn't a pet? So you'd had to say, no, it's Donnie. No, it's Greg. No, it's Rob. Can I still come in or not come in? My Lord, Brother Michael, am I working? I'm not sure that you must have me on this bizarre frequency where I'm not speaking a language they can understand or something. Oh my. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now Joseph was 17 and he was helping his other brothers with the sheep. Now he could not do maybe the same amount of work and the same things that they could do, but he was working with the sheep. But I want you to notice now what Jacob does. Remember that the scripture condenses its truths. So Joseph, in receiving this coat of many colors, now this is not like maybe that we would think in our Western culture and Western tradition that the father just had made him a very pretty coat and it was a very nice coat. This coat was a badge of authority. This coat was a symbol of a king. This coat was a symbol of authority. You see, in this patriarchal time frame, a patriarch was equivalent to a king. So Joseph, at the age of 17, has just now started working with his brothers and learning a little bit of authority and position and all that. But Jacob, once he gives him this coat, he removes him from being under his brothers and being as one of them, and he makes him their boss. So Jacob removes him from being a servant to becoming the master. Now you see, this is opposite of God's way. God never makes a master out of a greenhorn. No. God never takes a person from the bottom rung of the ladder and puts them up here on the top and puts them in command of everything. I'm sorry, it just don't work that way. So we can see the way then that Jacob is doing this is contrary to God's divine nature. So Jacob, now because of his favoritism toward him, now I want you to notice how close now this parallels to what God is fixing to do. Because God is now fixing to start dealing with Joseph in a supernatural way. And Jacob's flesh got in the way to forerun what God is fixing to do. So his brothers then are going to take the whole thing and put it all in the same heap. And then they're going to get this envy against their brother. And part of the fault of that belongs to Jacob, a prophet of God. Amen. And Happy Valley said, amen. Now, Jacob actually wants his son, his younger son, Joseph, to be the ruler over his brethren. But Jacob does not yet like God that Joseph is not yet in that position to do so. But he makes him the ruler, and by doing this, Jacob actually brings a reason for his brothers to hate him. Mama. Now what's this coat of many colors? It was a coat with long sleeves. A coat with diverse types of colors. Now, it was not pieces as we'd think. A rag coat, you know, where you take this piece and no. It was a finely tailored coat. It was a coat that was tailored and the colors were picked. And it would have been colors of crimson or blue or colors that were very, very scarlet. Colors that were very expensive colors. It was not made out of rags. But it was a color to show authority and a symbolism of a badge. So when Joseph walks out with this coat on and his brothers, with their understanding of this, sees it, they know exactly what their father intends. Oh my. Now, you know, it was made out of beautiful colors, but another color is going to be added shortly. And that will be the color of blood. Why is it going to be so? Because of selfish parental love that will pick one child above the others. What's in 2 Samuel chapter 13 verse 18? Tamar, David, the king's daughter. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparelled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. So this is an acceptance among the kings of the east, of the royalty of the east, that it was a symbolism of a king or a king's son. So you imagine now, your Joseph is a 17-year-old boy and his brother's older. And of course, we know they had their faults and their mistakes and failures and all that. But it is a token of affection that is superior. By giving this, he's publicly letting it be known, I love Joseph more than I love all the rest of you boys. You don't even hold a light as far as my love is concerned. Oh my. The person who wears this coat, depending upon how they will relate, the pet many times becomes arrogant. They use the other siblings to get their way. Then they themselves, once they get older, many of them will realize what they have done, and they will never be allowed into the sibling circle like all the other siblings, because of the way they have been treated. Well, praise the Lord. Preach, Brother Donnie, I'm with you. Well, buddy, I'm glad, because you're one of the very few. Now watch in verse 4.
When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that they hated him and they had this envy? Now, was this Joseph's fault? No, it was not. It was not Joseph's fault. It was Jacob's fault. Wait a minute. I thought prophets don't make a mistake. You need to read a little farther than reading that one quote. Favoritism is wrong, friends. God is the only one that can have favorites and do it justly. Human beings just don't have the ability. Oh, you say I can. You're out of your mind. You're on dope. You smoke marijuana or something before you come to church. It is not in a human being to show favoritism and be just. You can't do it. It's corrupt. It's wicked. It's vile. It's destructive. So when his brethren see this, it's bad enough for Jacob to do the other. And then whenever they see Joseph wearing this king's garment, this patriarchal badge of honor and authority. Now, if it had just been something as a reward to honor him, well, he done a good deed, so we'll just give him this or something to honor him. You know, we'll honor him. He done good. We'll take him out and buy him his supper or something like that. But if this is not what the symbol of this robe was, it was a badge of his authority. All the rest of you now on answer to him. Oh my. Notice what this does to his brothers. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So now this brings envy and resentment. Now look what this meaning of the word peaceably is. That whether you were a Hebrew or whether you were an Arab yet to be, that it was always a common thing among this class of people that they wouldn't greet one another with a kiss. Or they would greet one another if they didn't know well enough for that. They would also, peace be unto you. But whenever Joseph would come around, they would never say, peace be unto you. They would not for you not to do that to an individual. It was one of the greatest reproaches because you was telling them you are not welcome. We do not like you. We do not want to be around you. So that when Joseph had come around, they'd not say, peace be unto you. If they'd meet a caravan of Egyptian traders or Ishmaelites or Midianites or whatever more, the Midianites would say to them, peace be unto you. And the Hebrews would say, peace be unto you. But whenever they would meet Joseph, now no doubt Joseph would come, peace be unto you, my brothers. But they would not say that unto him. They would look at him with envy in their hearts. They would look at him knowing that their daddy loved him better. Now here he comes. You imagine the next time that he comes out to see him. And he has on this badge of authority. And it makes them so angry. And whose fault is this? Come on, children. Don't be afraid. Now let's look at a little bit of scientific research, shall we? For those of you who already think I'm way out in left field, I'm fixing to knock a home run. Unfavored children have consistently been shown to exhibit high levels of depression and aggressive behaviors and a reduced sense of self-worth and social responsibility. A painstaking examination of data from three separate North American studies addressed this point by looking at the effects of favoritism on multiple children in the family and comparing results across as well as within a total of 5,488 families. So this is a little bit broader than just what you think. Published in the Journal of Child Development, the review found that on average, parental favoritism had negative effects on all children, not just on favored siblings. So for those who favor 1 out of 3, 1 out of 8, 1 out of 27, they think they're doing that one a favor. They're actually doing that one a disfavor, as well as the others who are not the favored ones. These effects were categorized primarily as externalizing behaviors, which refers to emotional behavior and problems that show themselves in the form of antisocial and aggressive conduct. but affects in cognitive ability specifically related to verbal reasoning or also apparent. Now, can you imagine? Here are children that know that they are not the favored ones in the family. So for some of them, it will make them aggressive. For some of them, it will make them aware that they don't have the ability to socialize with other people. And some, it will make them where they cannot talk right. And who caused it? Parents. Or one. It don't have to be both. Mm-mm-mm. Researchers also suggest a privileged child may feel the loss of what might be otherwise have been a close sibling relationship. It is well known among child development researchers that preferential treatment by parents seriously undermine the relationship between siblings. A relationship that otherwise has the potential to provide tremendous benefits throughout their lives. Now, we know somehow Joseph would have wound up going down to the land of Egypt. God had a plan for Joseph's life. But you know what? I believe with all of my heart in looking at this treatment and seeing the outcome of it, that it would have not been the way that it was because of Jacob's preferential treatment. It's an evident sign that the way Jacob loved Joseph was not the love of God. Because look at the fruit, look at the progeny of this preferential treatment and judge it by that. Oh, you say you can't always judge it by the word. I'll agree with that. So judge it by the fruit. Look and see what it does to your child that you get the best treatment to, and look and see what it does to the others and see how they respond. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch this. Being interested in their children equality requires parents to appreciate the particular blend of talents, abilities, and personality strengths that makes each child unique. Unfortunately, parents often sabotage their own success by making comparisons among their children, labeling one child the creative one and another the math genius. Can stimulate each child to feel jealous of the other's talent. Any of you brothers hiring? I mean, this may really be a serious answer tonight. Even the single people ain't saying that, man. They're not even married. Now, can you imagine, parents, for those of you who do this and you are labeling your children, and you're calling one the creative one and another the math genius, can stimulate each child to feel jealous of the other's talent. All comparisons, even positive ones, have two problems. They pigeonhole children, limiting their freedom to discover for themselves who they are, what attracts their interest, and in what areas they have the potential to excel. They feed competition among siblings. So what did Jacob do? Jacob, by picking out Joseph and setting Joseph over the rest of his brothers, he set all the rest of the brothers' potentials, all their abilities, all the positive things about them. There must have been some good things about them if God was going to use them to populate the entire earth. There must have been some things about these boys that had some real good traits, or God don't fool generally with junk. Come on. But yet, what did he do? It was like, if you're not Joseph, you're nobody. Now, just keep in mind, you parents, maybe you've raised two kids or three kids or something like that, but we're talking about a coverage of tens of thousands of parents and families. So don't sit there and blow up your knowledge like you know more than what I'm preaching to you tonight. Just face the facts. You're scorched. Admit it. Admit it. You're fried like a green mater. Just say amen. Let the angels know you can at least say amen while you're fried. It speaks well of a child of God while their smoke is ascending up in the presence of God that they can say amen. People that don't think God still wants burnt offerings ought to attend this church. I'm one of the chief offerings. I get burned all the time. Problem is, I'm the one lighting the fire. Now watch. Most parents would never, let me read this part. In contrast, parents who consistently favor one child over another risk leaving the unfavored child feeling unloved, unwanted, unworthy of affection. Unloved, unworthy, unworthy of affection. You imagine, they feel unwanted. Most parents would never wish to be cruel to a child, but favoritism can hurt very cruelly, and it is all too easy for parents to overlook. Now what's amazing is, and I read all this, and there's countless and countless of things, and I'm not going to bore you with all the statistics and all the facts, but it's amazing of the parents that were polled, who had multiple children, and they were asked, do you show favoritism? No, 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 no. But then they asked the grandparents on this side, or the grandparents on that side, or aunts, or uncles, or the people they went to church with, do you think Greg and Shirley show favoritism? Yes, 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 yes. And then when the parents were shown this, I mean, they were blown out of the water. They could not believe that they were viewed as being favorites. Oh, my, me. Yes, your wings are fluttering, I know. Some of y'all need it. Your face is blood red. Your brothers turn the heat to cool up a little bit in here. We might need it. It seems awful warm in here tonight to me. Now watch. For this reason, it is important for parents to take inventory of their behaviors toward each of their children. Do we frequently find ourselves responding negatively toward a particular child? Regularly using sarcasm or feeling irritated with him or her? Do we label one child as the difficult one? Or perhaps find it less natural to show affection to one child in comparison to others? Now, was it natural for Jacob maybe to be inclined more toward Joseph? We can all see that, can't we? I mean, it was from his beloved wife. I don't believe in polygamy, thank God. I don't have four wives, thank God. As a matter of fact, I don't think I would work in my house anyway because my wife would be guilty of murder. The wife first, the second wife, and then me after that. So, you know, just sit there and look at me. The rest of your wives are too. You ought to sing the wives on their faces. Amen. That's right. So, but you can imagine if you had one wife, well, just say you had a wife, and this was your favorite wife, and she's gone, and this son is of her, and maybe there was things about Joseph's nature that was more like, that was compatible to Jacob. And maybe there were things about Reuben and Issachar and Naphtali and Dan and all the others that, you know, they just clashed with him. So he would naturally gravitate more toward that one. Or maybe he felt so sorry for poor little Joseph because poor little Joseph, you know, his mother was gone. And poor little Benjamin, the mother was gone. So he felt he was so inferior and he needed to protect him. So he really need to make over him more and then do more for poor little Joseph because he's got such complexes, you know, the poor little guy. He's got such complexes about himself, so I'm going to do everything I can to make him so much better. He did. Had him sent to Egypt for 22 years without seeing him. I wonder if the reason God didn't let him go and hold that secret in his heart because of his stubbornness. And the love that he so cherished was so wrong that God let him go for 22 years without knowing he's alive. Friends, God does not honor this kind of love. It is wrong. Some of you people sitting here tonight that are parents and you're even grandparents, you don't even know it. But psychologically, you are still dealing with that in your own life. Because you are not the preferred child. Lord Jesus. Do we notice ourselves overreacting toward any of our children more consistently than others? When each child is loved for the unique person he or she is, the stage is set for close sibling relationship and healthy family relationships in general. There is no greater gift parents can give to their children or to themselves. Experts say favored children tend to have better self-esteem, yet can also be spoiled and manipulative. So a favored child can have a better self-esteem than others, but it can tend to make them spoiled, and they know their position and they'll learn how to manipulate the parents or their other siblings. These children may think the world owes them a living. Oh boy. That must be what's wrong with our age. Everybody wants a living free. Now our president wants to give everybody free college and give them free this and free that. Do we have a nation of idiots? Do you all simply believe all this stuff is free? Who do you think gives you this free stuff? When's the United States ever going to come to its senses and realize the government of the United States does not make money? They can print it. You're the one who makes money. If you're giving somebody something free, somebody's got to pay for it. And if you are giving your child favoritism, somebody else is going to pay. And I'll tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be their siblings. Oh my. Disfavored children tend to have lower self-esteem, which can either make them try harder or give up too easily. And also makes them rageaholics who spend a lifetime collecting injustices. Lord God, open our hearts tonight. There are some of you sitting here tonight that have raised your children. They're done gone. But you're in this stage right here. You was never able to satisfy your daddy or your mother. And you're still dealing with it right now. You make your wife miserable. Your children miserable. Everybody you work with or work for is miserable around you. Because you was never accepted. Never be able to love. Look, children, it's time we grow up. And ask God to help us to heal in our spirits. Oh my. Lord Jesus. Spend a lifetime collecting injustices as a mode of primary thinking and interpreting. Nobody loves me. Everybody's always done me wrong. I never did this. Now, can you imagine a child growing up into adolescence or going into preteens and teens and their 20s and 30s and they get married and they're still carrying this in them and they live a big portion of their life with this inside of them because parents favored their sister. And those parents would have killed somebody if they'd have broke in the house and tried to do something to that child. And they'd done more damage to that child than anybody that ever went to school with. Oh my. Brigham Young University professor Alec Jensen analyzed 282 families with teenage siblings for a study that appears in the Journal of Family Psychology. Favoritism and parenting is a complex topic for sure. But here are some important takeaways. Jensen looked at perceived preferential treatment in different types of family dynamics. For families that aren't very close to each other, so-called disengaged families, favoritism was strongly associated with alcohol, cigarette, and drug use by the less favored children. Can you imagine parents? And some of them are in the message. They'll disfavor or favor one above the others. And they're setting up their child to head in the direction of drugs and alcohol. And then when they go that way, they cry, God, what happened? God, what happened? You! And some parents are stupid enough to tell one child, you're my favorite of all. Have you lost your mind? Do you know what that's going to do to that child and to the others if they ever find it out? Would any of you drive your children to alcohol? To drugs? My. Jacob! How could you do this? How could you do this? That you would love one so much that you would cause the other older 10 to hate him. Think about it. Oh my. Think of this. In these disengaged families, children who view themselves as slightly less favored were almost twice as likely to use alcohol, cigarettes, or drugs. If the preferential treatment was perceived to be dramatic, the less favored child was 3.5 times more likely to use any of these substances. So you mean it's not just the kid next door? It's not just the kid to go to school with? Friends, the prophet said it over and over again. A lot of times it's not child delinquency, it is parent delinquency. In other words, favoritism appears to be the most problematic when love and support are generally scarce. For parents, worrying about keeping score and managing perception of fairness, Jensen had some very simple advice. Now, we're all simple people. Let's see if we can take this. Show your love to your kids at a greater extent than you currently are, Jensen said. As simple as it sounds, more warmth and less conflict is probably the best answer. That's based on what they saw in the data. The link between substance use and favoritism didn't exist among families that take a strong interest in each other. Lord Jesus. So what is Jacob doing? He is making a breeding ground. For hate, for envy, for spite, for jealousy. Oh my. Now watch this. So what they found, these researchers found in all these studies, was that it was terrible if father and mother both were this way. Terrible if father was this way. But even worse, if one or two of the parents, it was always the worst. If it was the mother. For many years of my life, I've looked at Esau, and I've wondered about Esau. Knowing that he wasn't the seed, we know. But wondering, was there anything human? Was there anything in the family upbringing that added to what Esau was? As I began to read this and study this, it really made me wonder. If Esau being preferred by his father, yet not as loved by his mother, if that made Esau worse. I want you to listen to this about moms. Whether mom's golden child or black sheep, siblings who sense that their mother consistently favors or rejects one child over others are more likely to show depressive symptoms as middle-aged adults. Did you all hear that? So if they know they are not the preferred child when they are young, do you understand that they just found this out in the last few years, and therapists have now started using this type of therapy on middle-aged adults? Oh my God. More likely to show depressive symptoms as middle-aged adults, finds a new study by Cornell gerontologist Carl Pillemer. Prior research has shown that parental favoritism among siblings negatively affects... You're kidding me? Mental health? And often triggers behavioral problems in children, teens, and young adults. But the survey of 275 Boston area families co-directed by Purdue sociologist Jill Sujar The first to show that such harmful effects persist long into adulthood. Now watch here as Jacob goes on, and this gets worse and worse and worse. These 10 brothers are adults. And now they're dealing with this. You imagine. And who could have helped squelch a lot of this? Did Jacob maybe have an insight that Joseph was going to be the next one? He might have. But was he trying to help that spiritual insight with this? I know God favors him, so I'm going to do this and that and the other. You're asking for trouble, friend. Praise the Lord. We're better off to wait on God's time. Let God do things. Let God place. Oh my. Perceived favoritism from one's mother still matters to a child's psychological well-being. Even if they have been living for years outside the parental home and have started families of their own. Now you imagine, here they are, they married. Well, I get married, I'll get away from it. Huh, whose leg are you pulling? You ain't pulling your own, because that's deep inside of you. So what does it do? It tends to cause them this depressive behavior in middle-aged adults, which many of them have become grandparents. Oh, I'll get over it. I'll outgrow it. It won't bother me no more. But friend, without us hearing the Word of God and hearing truth, this is why I feel so sorry for the majority of people out here in the world that's dealing with all the social and psychological behavioral problems that they have. You know what? And we try to educate them. Give them more education. Education ain't the answer. Many times it's love. It's like, can you imagine a child feeling and seeing mama always prefers that one. Mama always takes up for that one. Mama always loves that one more. You know what you're doing to your child. For years and years and years, they'll deal with that. Whew. It doesn't matter whether you are the chosen child or not, the perception of unequal treatment has damaging effects for all siblings, he added. The less favored kids may have ill will toward their mother or preferred sibling. And being the favored child brings resentment from one's siblings and the added weight of greater parental expectation. Now watch this, the siblings of Joseph. Whenever they fabricate the lie that Joseph has been killed, I want you to notice what they do. They get at Joseph and they also get back at their daddy. They are not just getting back at Joseph, but they're getting back at their daddy. Oh, Lord. Now, let me say this so you don't misunderstand. Many times you have a sick child in a family. That child through no fault of their own, genetically, you know, inheritance, whatever. One may be sick, the other may be well. That child may require more time. That child may require more attention, but that don't mean the parents love them more. But it's up to the parents to convey to the well children that we love you just as much. And our attention to this sick one doesn't mean more love. Can I go on? Watch now in Genesis 37:23. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren that they stripped Joseph of his coat. His coat of many colors that was on him. Now their resentment, now you know how this works. Birds of a feather flock together. So Joseph is by himself. So his father sends Joseph to check up on the old boys. He comes with his badge of authority. He comes as one really not qualified. He comes, of course, by this time, I'm skipping some chapters here, but by this time, Joseph has had some dreams. You remember the dreams? His brothers bow before him. His father and mother bows before him. So, but now his brothers are scathing. They are so angry. They are so envious. And one of the first things they do, there comes that dreamer. There comes the pet. And now without Father being there to protect him, what do they do? They don't take his shoes off first. They don't take the chain off of his neck, which being a ruler he would have had. They do not take the script out of his hand or the bag that would have been on his side. They take the badge of authority. Now watch this sibling rivalry that has now stewed for years and years and years. Now this has turned beyond envy and is now boiled into hate. They hate this brother. And they're going to get even with him. Oh my Lord. They stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicer and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Now I want you to notice these hard-hearted brothers. This excessive love of Jacob had turned their hearts like stone. They take Joseph's coat off of him, and they drop Joseph down in a pit, and they sit down to eat dinner. Joseph is screaming and hollering and begging for mercy, and they sit down and enjoy their lunch. Look what favoritism has done. It has made them so hard that they can hear the cries of their brother. They can hear the pleas for mercy. Brothers, please, please. I'm sorry, please, brothers. But they sit there and enjoy their dinner. And who is a lot of the one responsible for this hardness? A prophet of God. Oh, my. Of course, they sell him to the Ishmaelites. Chapter 37, verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid. Now, shall we venture back in time a little bit? Let us go back from Bethel. Let's go on back prior to that. What do we find? We find a man by the name of Jacob killing a kid and taking the meat and the blood to deceive his father. And what a man sows, he will also reap. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. Jacob was deceived by a kid, used to deceive his father. Now he's going to be deceived. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This we have found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him." Now this is a prophet of God. Let's take his words to task. He has just spoken something. Was it the truth? Come on, don't be scared, friends. Was what he just said the truth? You mean a prophet can say something and quote something and say something and it not be exact history or facts? So are we going to butcher Jacob and call him a false prophet? Jacob said a beast killed Joseph. He goes on to say, Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Without doubt to who? This is a prophet of God. Is he saying the truth? Is he saying facts? So we can't trust him anymore after this, can we? I mean, are we ever going to have any confidence in what Jacob has to say after this point? Now what's he looking at? Why don't God tell him?
Remember, Isaac is still alive. He's living with Jacob. Isaac will live another 14 years. Another prophet of God. So here you got two prophets in the same camp. And both of them believe in error. So Isaac dies and goes down to Sheol, thinking Joseph has been killed. Jacob sits there for 22 years. Believing an error. Let's stand. Now friends, I don't mind telling you, it makes my mind spin, Brother David, when I think this excessive amount of suffering that Jacob is doing because of the over-excessive love and favoritism he showed to this boy. Did he bring much of this on himself? He's fixing to bring years and years of separation. And a rift in the family. His boys have now lied. They've deceived their daddy. Imagine having to tell this story the same way over and over and over again if Jacob would bring it up. Having to lie again and again. Because one lie requires another always. So if you're going to lie over the coat, then you've got to lie about how it was killed. And then you've got to lie about this and that and other. Why? What's the seed of it? Favoritism. May God help us. I said, may God help us. As human beings, we have favorites. We have people we'd rather be around than others. But may God help us as His children that we will never turn down another son or daughter of God because they're not our favorite. If there's two people down here today that are lost without God, or two Christians that are in desperate need, and you would go to one instead of the other because you prefer them, you have just sinned. Now, can you prefer one above the other? You can. But when it comes to treatment of the two, the love of God will treat them both the same. Whether you prefer them or not. That's the sin of respective persons. Well, I like Brother Gary better than I like this brother, so I would tend to go, no, that's wrong. You should go to either or. It should only be the circumstances that dictate the difference, not the person. Well, if I'm a white person, I'll treat the white people better. Then you need the Holy Ghost. Well, if I'm a black person, I naturally go toward the black people. No, you should go toward the Holy Ghost filled people. Black shouldn't gravitate toward black no more than white should gravitate toward white. We should all gravitate toward God. What difference does the color of the skin make, or Chinese or Japanese? What difference does it make? It shouldn't make a bit of difference. Praise the Lord. Think of it, children. Think of it. How we ought to love one another. This is one of the outstanding facts in the age of the martyrdom. You can find it different of even their own Roman historians. It wasn't just the doctrines that the Christians preached. It wasn't just that they dressed different and looked different. One of the most outstanding things that they said was how they love one another. There was rich, there was poor, there was celebrities, there was famous and all that sort of thing. But it's not the early church was able to just blend it all together. And the rich didn't have to associate with the rich. The rich made the poor feel so comfortable they could call them brother. Praise the Lord. And the poor felt so comfortable about the rich they didn't go around digging the rich all the time. It works both ways, you know. I said it works both ways. Let me just be honest with you. It's a good thing that some folks in this message have got some money. Because if everybody lived the way some folks in this church lived, from hand to mouth, and we have to basically wind up carrying them, we'd never get this message nowhere. We couldn't get it to the West Coast and back. It's a good thing that God's got some people that's got money that can do things with some money. So before you criticize that, maybe you ought to look at it in that way. You see, the rich can have an attitude toward the poor. But I'm going to tell you first-handed, the poor can have just as bad, if not worse, of an attitude toward the rich, which is just as wrong. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. We shouldn't have an attitude against anybody. We should love, not have favoritism when it comes to the grace of God and the mercy of God. Let God give mercy to whomsoever He will. And let us rejoice that they get it. Let's bow our heads again, if you would. Lord, I realize to bring something like this, it's always difficult, Father. Because there will be people sitting here, people that have heard the service. Already they're dragging out their keyboard. They're going to go send me an email. Oh, did I do this wrong? Did I do that wrong? And then there'll be others sitting there, oh, that was just for me. I've always been treated this way. I'm always... Well, a lot of times, Lord, it ain't that they've been treated that way. They got that old devil on them. It's the way they perceive it. Lord, help us. I realize any time I bring something like this, it's always so difficult. Depending on which way people lean. The ones who lean to the left, I pull it to the left. The ones who lean to the right, I pull it to the right. But may we understand both left and right is wrong. The middle of the road is God's way. The easier way is always to the extreme left or to the extreme right. The most difficult, painstaking way is always in the middle of the road. Help us, Lord, to get in the middle. Help parents, Father. Those who still have their children at home. Those that maybe their children are gone. If they look through tonight and with hurt hearts, they realize maybe they did show favoritism toward a boy or a girl. I pray that You would help them, Lord. If we've still got them and they're still alive, the thing about being parents is, Lord, we're learning as we go. And all of us have made mistakes in parenting. Sometimes I wish I'd have waited till I was about 50 and then fathered mine. Of course, by the time I fathered at that age, it would drove me nuts. So my wisdom wouldn't have done me no good. But I think I'd have known so much more. I'd have known better how to raise them and how to treat them and how to have been a better daddy. I'm sure I've failed both of my daughters in many ways. And I'm very sorry. I trust, Lord, that I have left no lasting scars on either of my daughters' hearts. And if I have, I ask You and I ask them to forgive me. For it's never my intention to do so. So, Lord, I pray for every father, every mother, as they stand here tonight, maybe they're thinking about their children, their three, their four, their five, their two, whatever. May You help each of us. If we feel a little something, well, I could have done this different and that a little different, kind of tends to make us feel bad and we leave here heavy-hearted. But may we know that it's Your grace that sends us these things. For those who still are young and have their children at home, I pray You give them wisdom and understanding to know how to raise them. And then, Lord, we want to bring it beyond just parenting. We want to bring it into our church. We want to bring it into our Sunday school. We want to bring it into the office of the deacons and the trustees and all of us, Father. Help us that we'll not have favoritism. Help the deacons here, Lord, that they'll never show favoritism. If a person is a close friend to a deacon, that they'll not kind of get their need met because they're a close friend to this deacon. Or because someone has a little bit of favor with a trustee and they go to a trustee and they want this certain thing done, or they want to be able to get this job at the church doing this or that. Help us never to have brothers like that. But help us, Lord, that we'll always be above board. And that we'll not lean toward one certain family or one certain this, that, the other. But help us, Father, that we'll be fair and not show favoritism. And help me, Lord Jesus, as the pastor, that I'll treat these people no matter what they're worth. Lord, and I say this before You, and You know it. I've never asked these people for their money. I don't know who pays tithes and who don't. I don't know how much they pay. I don't want to know. But the Jim Bab takes care of all that. I don't wish to know. I don't even take a tithe of the tithe. much less all the tithe. So I don't wish to know who pays or how much they pay. I want to separate myself from that. If I need to know how much is in the tithing account, I call Brother Jim and ask him. I don't want to be involved in that aspect of it. So Lord, I don't want no favorites. But I would love this family above that family because they pay more. Or I would prefer this family above that family because they buy me nice things. Lord, let me love them all the same. And treat them all the same. Whether they pay $30 a week or $3,000 or $100,000, what difference does it make? Help us all tonight, Lord. Purge us from such impurities, Lord, that is called love. This is not divine love to love children like this. This is not divine love to look at one family in the church. Well, I don't like them. They're poor and they live in this certain neighborhood and they're not uppity, uppity. Who are we to say who's uppity, uppity anyhow? If that's the attitude we have, then that means that attitude, they would have never shook hands with you because you never even lived in a neighborhood. You never even had a house. You never owned a donkey, a cow, a rooster. You was the poorest of the poor. And who do we think we are? We've got to associate with a certain class of people. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. You became a pauper that we might be rich. Help us, Lord Jesus. Would you be honest before Him tonight and say, Lord, help me. Help me with my children, my grandchildren, my brothers and sisters at the church, the people I work with, the people around me. Help me, Lord. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love You, Lord. Fathers are praying now. Lord, Sister Jane Terrell, you see, Father, the need of our sister today. The hospital, Lord, talking to Brother Gene this afternoon. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, You'd move for our sister on her behalf. May the Spirit of God reach down, Lord, right now and touch her. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, may the angel of God go by that medical center tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. May the presence of God touch her, Lord. He told me this afternoon whenever we pray, that we pray for God's will. But Lord, our brother was so broke up he could hardly talk. He don't want to let his wife go. Lord, may You touch her. May You raise her up, Lord. Hallelujah. She believes You, Lord. She believes You, Lord. She trusts Your word. Glory to God. The last time she was sick, Lord, I went to the hospital to pray for her. You opened her eyes and let her see that swirling light of Your presence right there in the room, Lord. Hallelujah to God. It shows to me she believes You. She has faith in Your presence, Lord. May You come nearer again, Lord. Her need tonight was greater than it was then. May You come nearer, Lord. She believes You, Father. May her faith call You that pillar of fire right near where she is, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Let's just raise our hands now in the presence of the King before we go. Oh my, let Him pour in a little bit of oil and wine. If you got some wounds, well, if you didn't tonight, well, bless your little heart. Come back this weekend. It might be your time then. But if you got some wounds, why don't you, Lord, let the Lord pour the oil and the wine. Bring a little healing to your spirit right now before you go out. Just take the word, let it correct you. My, if you need to show more love to your children, just show more to all of them. To your grandchildren, to your brothers, your sisters, whoever. Whoever you go to church with, just love children. The world is thirsting for genuine love of God. And love don't mean compromise. I'm talking about uncompromising love. But real love can disagree with a person and still love them. But you know how we are as humans. Oh, we judge people how great they are by the way they treat us. Oh my, them are fine Christians. Oh, them's the best Christians I've ever seen in my life. In other words, what they're saying is, they like them. But you let somebody that don't like them, them people ain't right. They're not a good Christian. Why? Because they don't like that person. Is that the way we judge Christians? That's certainly not what Jesus said. Herein shall men know that you are my disciples. Because you love those that agree with you. Because you have love one toward another. Praise God. How many appreciate the Lord? You appreciate His Word? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing together. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. Let's sing it just before we go.
Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood flows to my veins, and I who was wretched and so poor. Praise God, I'm
child.